like to begin this service, this preaching part of our service this morning, with a call and response that has been familiar to the church over the years. It's a simple call and response. I invite you to join in with me as I say, He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. Let's give God all glory and praise here this morning. Today is a culmination of our journey that we have been on together through the events of Holy Week. We started last week with Palm Sunday, where we learned that we need to come alive to Jesus' life, which is, it was, and it is above and beyond human understanding. This past Friday, at the end of our prayer week, we came, we did not look down in fear or defeat, but we held our head high as we looked and focused in on the cross and came alive to the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. And today we come to celebrate Jesus. Amen. Has anybody come to celebrate Jesus this morning? Because he is alive. He is alive. And through his resurrection, we come alive to his power to change and transform each one of our lives, change us into a new creation. Now, I know some of you already start thinking, I don't know if I have the power to change. I just don't know if I have the power to change my attitude or my outlook on life. I don't know if I have the strength to continue in this marriage that's been broken for a long time. I don't know if I have the ability to break this addiction that's got a hold on me. I don't know if I can truly forgive that person because they hurt me deeply. I don't know if I have the power to love my enemies. I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't know that I have the power to do that. You know, I just really don't know if I have the power to live the life Jesus is calling me to live. I don't know if I have the power to change. We have some good news for you today. You're right. You don't have the power to change. But we have a Savior, one who is called Jesus. And the good news of Easter is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth in the flesh to live amongst us, to show us the way how to live. And he took our sins upon himself and died for all those sins on the cross. And he defeated the power of sin, death, and the grave by being raised again after 3 days. And he lives and he has all power today. As a result of the resurrection, every person who has received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior has the power of God within them. You have the power of God within you, not only to change your life, but to live a victorious, abundant life. That's what this day is all about. That's what we gather for today. That's why we put out seats in the back on a day like today, because we celebrate a risen Savior. Now, in the New Testament, Apostle Paul, we're going to call to the witness stand because he is one who actually persecuted Christians. And then he had an encounter with Jesus. And he went through a radical life change after this encounter. And from that point forward, he lived his life dependent on Jesus and the power of the resurrection. I want to pull out just one phrase, one word, one statement that he made. In the book of Philippians, he said this, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. The title of our message today is simply this, come alive to the power of his resurrection. You see, that was the goal of Paul's life from that point forward. He simply wanted to know Jesus and know the power of his resurrection in his everyday life.
Paul went through some hard times, and we don't have time to unpack it all today, but those of you familiar with his story knew he met opposition at every turn. But the way he was able to get through every day, he depended on Jesus and his power to bring him through. And Paul wanted the same thing for all of his friends, for all of those that he introduced to the gospel, for all those that he introduced to Jesus Christ. He wanted the same thing. Listen to how he prayed for his friends at a church that he started in Ephesus. He prayed this for these band of Gentiles who were being introduced to this way. His prayer went like this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Think about this. As the words are on the screen, think about what Paul prayed. He prayed that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and now that gave him the ability and authority to rule over the universe, he prayed that that power would be available to those people in that church in Ephesus. And you know what? That prayer pertains to us today because that same power is available to us today. You don't seem to get excited about that word power. Let me give you a little insight on that. The Greek word for power is dunamis. It's the word that we get our word dynamite from. That's the kind of power we're talking about. You know, when dynamite goes off, things change. Things don't remain the same. That's the same power that we have available to us. Things can and will change if we have access to the power, and we do. And Paul said, I want to know it. In other words, he was saying, give me a piece of that. It was his goal to know Christ and know the power of his resurrection. And he went on. He wasn't selfish with it. He prayed that others would know it too. The good news of Easter is that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins and offers forgiveness, but the good news is that same power that raised him from the dead 2,000 years ago is available to change your life right now, today. Amen. But what is all this about resurrection power? I want to just share three insights about resurrection power this morning, and I'll be out of your way. The first one is simply this: resurrection power is the power to cancel out your past, present, and future sins. Many people in life carry around the weight and burden of their past failures, their past mistakes, and their past sins. The problem with this is life becomes overwhelming when we're living with the regret of our past. When I said earlier that this means the power to cancel out your past, I'm not talking about denying it or saying it didn't happen. You know, cancel means to eliminate, to remove, to delete. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gotten halfway through some type of project and you thought, as we were halfway through, and you said, man, I wish I could start this over. You know, this is not going the way I thought it was going to go. A lot of us feel that way sometimes. We feel that way about our lives. I just wish I could start over. I've made so many mistakes. There's so many failures, problems, bad decisions. I just wish I could hit the delete button and start over. When we're in that kind of a mode, we can't seem to get to let go of our past. And you know what happens? Our past controls our present, and it begins to dictate to our future. We begin to live in a constant state of regret, second guessing ourselves, becoming tortured by painful memories. But you know what God says? God says that is unnecessary. We do not have to live life like that. We don't have to walk around with a heavy load of guilt. How is that possible? Paul tells us, Colossians 2, 13 through 14, he wrote these words, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away." How did he do it? Nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. Christ has done away with the record of charges against you by bearing them on the cross over 2,000 years ago. This verse says that he forgave all our sins. Maybe we don't have a real grasp on sin. Sin, the word that's used for sin, it's an archery term. It's about bows and arrows. And let me tell you a revelation I've gotten recently. I used to always think of sin as, you know, I'm lining up and I'm trying to go for that yellow bullseye and I land in the blue. But I don't know about you, but sin in my life don't look like that. Sin in my life, I turn away from the target and I start shooting way over here and way over here, pursuing things that seduce me, that looks like they're going to be fulfilling. You know, success and money and stuff. That's what sin looks like. We turn our back and we shoot in every direction except for the target. And we completely ignore the target of pleasing God with our lives and living in harmony with one another. The problem with that is when I start shooting over here and up there and over here, those things at first, they seem like they're going to satisfy me. But what I have found in my little life is that actually they begin to make me feel miserable and empty. But again, we have good news, my brother. Because God offers complete forgiveness. He cancels out every record of the charges against us. He forgives us of them all. God uses words in the Bible like this to describe how our sins are forgiven. You ever heard these words? Blot out, wipe out, wash clean, canceled. That means that what God is after, he wants to not only forgive our sins, but he wants to forget our sins. That doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't know that the sins that we've committed. It just means that he doesn't rub them in because he came to rub them out. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to change us by saving us from our sins. John, familiar passage of scripture we start with here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, God, according to the Bible, has the ability and the desire, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, to take all of our misses and all of our messes and all the regrets that we have, and he has the ability to wipe them clean. Doesn't that sound interesting? Doesn't that sound inviting to you to wipe that all clean? And that happens in the moment we trust Jesus to be our Savior. There's some of us in here that we accepted Jesus as our Savior at some point in our lives, but we're facing a lot of challenges right now, and we find ourselves limping along. But you know, the same thing applies. When we come back to him and confess our sins, you know what the Bible says. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How, How does he do this? You know, I know. You say, why do you keep asking these questions? Because we ask these questions. And I ask these questions. But God has answers to these questions for us. How can God do this? It's simple. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the last things he said, and we sung about it earlier. You might remember these phrases that we sung about. He said, it is finished. Say that with me. It is finished. One more time. It is finished. Well, why you keep dwelling on that, preacher? I tell you why. Because the Greek word, there's a Greek word, there's actually one Greek word for that phrase. And it literally means paid in full. Oh, some of y'all smile when you see that. You remind you of that loan you had when you finally got that paper that said paid in full. Isn't that a good feeling? But just think, if it's a good feeling to finally get through paying on a loan, how much more is it a good feeling for Jesus Christ to stamp paid in full over all your sins, past, present, and future? Amen. Resurrection power. It's the power to cancel out our past, present, and future sins. It is also the power to give us a new identity. Number two or three, a new identity. What do you mean by identity? Identity is something that defines us. And in our culture today, we have all kinds of ways of defining ourselves. We do it by our race, our religion, our political party affiliation, our sexual orientation, our gender. We find out sometimes we find our identity in our occupation, what we do, our hobbies, or maybe where we went to school, or even in our looks, our clothes, or whom we're dating, or whom we're married to. Some of us find our identity in that. Some of us have some hidden identities, things that behind the scenes that shape our lives and our decisions, such as an addiction that we have. Or you know, I'm just too heavy, or I'm too skinny, or I have diabetes, or I have a heart issue. Some of us have labels that have been placed on us, labels that try to define who we are, try to give us our identity, labels like adopted, or divorced, or poor, or not very smart, or unwanted, or unloved. Identities are so much about what we do or what we've done, our successes and failures, or what others have done to us. But the resurrection brought with it the power to change who we really are, change our identity. Because of Jesus's conquering sin, death, and the grave, the truth is we do not have to be defined any longer by our sinful failures, our past mistakes, or even what others think about us, or even yet, what we think about ourselves on a bad day. Our identities can now be shaped by what God thinks of us. I don't know if you've noticed, but when God identifies us, he uses language different than ours. He uses things like friend, blessed, love, new creation, saint, disciple. That's the way God looks at those who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But those are good, but that's not my favorite. Let me tell you what my favorite one is that God refers to us. Again, we look to John this time. John wrote, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Isn't that something to be known as? A child of God. Try that on for size. I am a child of God. Come on now. I am a child of God. You know what that means? That means that he has adopted us into his family. You know what that means? That means he says, call me Father, Abba, Daddy. That means that we have a new identity if we would accept it. That means that we are his children and he is our father. We are his and he is ours. When we are a child of God, our feelings don't define us anymore. What other people think of us doesn't give us our identity. Our circumstances doesn't make up who we are. We are a child of God. I like this quote from Tim Keller. He says it like this: the only person in the universe whose opinion counts looks at me and finds me more valuable than all the jewels in creation. We are not our failures. We are not what people say we are. We are children of God. What is resurrection power? Let me review real quick. It's a power to cancel out our past, present, and future sins. It's a power to give a new identity. And finally, it's the power to fill you with strength to face the challenges of each day. That's resurrection power. Get this if you get nothing else today. We are not only saved by his death, we're also saved by his life. What I mean by that is that a risen Jesus lives inside of us. How? By his Holy Spirit. His divinity inhabits our humanity. That means that we can face each day in the strength of a risen Savior. Regardless of what happens to us, regardless of what difficulties we may face, regardless of what curveball life may throw at us, we have the power, because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of him rising again and the Holy Spirit that's deposited in us, we have the power to stand in there and face it. Paul says it, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Think about how this works. Think about the implications of what I've just said. Having a risen Jesus living out his life in us, the possibilities are endless. One thing I've learned, if nothing else, life is unpredictable. One minute, you're sailing along, everything is going fine, and the next moment, you're dealing with a crisis. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Life can be full of stress, heartache, disappointment, setbacks, trials, and tragedies. And how in the world do we face all these twists and turns, these roadblocks? It's through the power of a risen Christ. Sometimes it's that power, and sometimes it's Jesus himself carrying us along in his grace and his power. I want to quote Paul just a couple more times. In Romans 8, he says, but if Christ is in you, then even though the body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. I've seen this. I've seen this lived out in a young man who attends this church. Last year at Mother's Day, I met Timothy. It was after the service out in the welcome area, and he seemed to be overcome with emotion. I put my arm around him and offered to pray, and he began to just tell me his story right outside. You see, Mother's Day, that particular, this last year, was hard on him because his mother had just passed. And he has all kinds of regret because he shared with me that he was battling with alcohol. And he just felt like he had just let his mother down. She died before he could get straightened out. He went on to tell me that He had a 5-year-old son, but he and the mother weren't together because his mother couldn't stand to be with him because of all the things he was involved in. But I'm going to tell you about the power of the resurrection. He kept coming, and he got connected with people in his church that pointed him to Jesus, that loved on him. And in June 6th, shortly after Mother's Day, not long afterwards, he and his beloved Elizabeth got married because they wanted to make it right. He found a stable job. They were in the process of getting married. They were in the process of buying a home so that Elizabeth and Timothy and Cullen could be under one household and live as a family as God intended them to live. On July 9th, Elizabeth was killed in a horrific accident. His 5-year-old son, Cullen, was in the back seat. He was injured severely, airlifted up to Atlanta. And from July 9th to December 20th, Timothy spent every day that he could at his bedside. 5-year-old Cullen went through 12 surgeries. On December the 20th, he was released from the hospital in a wheelchair that they believed he would never walk again. I talked to Timothy just this morning. I said, "How is Cullen?" He said, Cullen gets around like there's nothing wrong. Like there's absolutely nothing wrong with him. He's just as happy as he can be. I said, "Well, Timothy, how are you doing?" I didn't have to ask. He told me. I haven't gone back to alcohol. I live for something greater now. I said, "I know. I checked on you all those months you were up there in Atlanta. I know your employer held your job for you. Did they hold it for you all the way to December the 20th? December 20th?" He said, "I'm a supervisor now." How could he cut through all of that? I believe it's because of the power of the resurrection. The same power that gives us strength to face the challenges of each day. I believe that's what's getting Timothy through all of these challenges he's faced. But as we get ready to come to a close, I have a question for you. What does the resurrection mean to you? For some people, it's just an ancient historical story. But I invite you, if you buy into that, read Matthew 28 or Mark 16 or Luke 24 or John 20. If you read those chapters, you'll find out on that Sunday morning, early on that Sunday morning, the women went to anoint his body, but they found an empty tomb. Jesus was not there anymore. Because he was and he is alive. And he gives us access to that same resurrection power to change the things in our lives. It's available to you. It's been available to me. All we have to do is accept it. As we close, I'll ask you to just bow your heads. Many of you are desperate to make a change in your life. Some of you, right here now, listening to my voice, you really want to make a change. You need to make a change in your life. You do. If that's you, just slip your hand up and put it back down. You have a situation in your life you need it, and you need it to change. Slip your hand up and put it back down. Some people in here can't let go of their past failures and mistakes. It's like a horror movie that just keeps going around in your head over. It just recycled. It's just looping. Jesus offers forgiveness. If that's you, that you can't seem to get past your past failures and mistakes, just slip your hand up. Put it back down. Let me see if I have anybody in the audience there. Oh, yeah. Some, because of what other people said to you, or maybe what you said to yourself, you feel like a failure, a loser, a has-been. Your identity is wrapped up in things that don't bring satisfaction. And in a few minutes that we've talked, you realize that. You know that to be true. If that's you, just raise your hand. Raise your hand if that's you. You know that you've been, your life has been identified. You identify with stuff. You find that stuff is what defines you. And then finally, some of us have been walking with the Lord for a long time. But we come in here today, and life has thrown us a lot of curveballs. Things have been unexpectedly coming our way. And we're challenged by that. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Put it back down. For everyone that raised their hands, we pray for you. We pray that you will experience the power of his resurrection. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for you, and you will grasp it. Father, I just pray for everyone here today on this great Easter Sunday. I pray that the worship, the message, Paul, John's words will speak to our heart. Or we leave out of here better than when we came. I did this first service, and I think I want to do it the second, because I think there's something I want to leave us with. It's a song that I heard somebody sing one time, and I'm not a singer, so don't pay attention to that. But I want this to be our song, our prayer, as we go about our day. Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. Would you stand with me? Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. For the sake of those who are heavy laden, burdened, we're going to pray this as a prayer. We're going to sing it as a prayer over one another as we get ready to depart. One last time, let's sing it. We got the tune now. It's not hard. And I pray that this will resonate. You will hear this in your ears all day long as you move about, as you go about your day. Let this be our prayer for one another. Let this be our prayer for ourselves. Will we do it one more time? Jesus, be Jesus in me. No. Risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
God bless you. praise team is going to give us one song as we leave, but God bless you and be with you today.